Kia ora, good afternoon, and welcome to the Rural News. I'm Maya Burry in Christchurch.
And I'm Eric Frickberg in Wellington. The Minister for the Environment is rejecting the claim that some farmers would get unfair treatment under the government's proposed action plan for healthy waterways, which was announced last month. The comments follow complaints from Beef and Lamb New Zealand that farms that already leach nitrates into waterways will be allowed to continue doing so until at least 2025. Meat producers' nitrate runoff is already very low, but they risk being locked into low-return agriculture by the plan to solve a problem they didn't cause. Beef and Lamb argues the proposals punish the innocent and reward the guilty, but David Parker rejects those arguments.
Everyone, including Beef and Lamb, say they want to clean up our waterways, but then every subset of major polluter says, please make an exception for me. They have different reasons, but in the end, it's job of government to make sure that these pollution levels are decreasing, not going up.
Yeah. They say that there are different standards that apply to the sheep and beef farmers, especially in the hills, compared with current high nutrient runoff farmers, and that this is unfair and that the innocent are being punished and the guilty are being allowed to continue with their current nutrient runoffs till at least 2025 and possibly after that date, and that is essentially unfair.
I would make the point that the same principle is being applied to all sectors, and that is if people want to substantially increase their pollution to waterway, they'd have to apply for a resource consent to do it, and they may not get their resource consent. What sheep and beef say is that they want the ability to increase their pollution to waterways, and they say they should be allowed that because dairy are already doing it. I don't agree with that proposition. I think if we were to allow that, then we would be allowing the increase to the pollution of our waterways.
What about their argument that their nitrate runoff levels are far, far lower than in the case of dairy and almost as low as forestry, and therefore they're already quite clean?
Well, that's true that their nitrate losses generally are lower than more intensive dairying. Nevertheless, if we allow anyone to increase their nitrate pollution of waterways before someone else reduces it in the catchment, we would have an overall increase in pollution of our waterways, which is the opposite of what everyone says they want.
That's David Parker.
To other news now, and new research has found baby greenshell mussels grow faster in a special hatchery than they do in the wild. The findings mean mussels can reach harvest size on average about 11 months faster, which would allow them to be brought to market sooner, earning a potential $200 million more. The research was done by Nelson firm Spat NZ, the fishing company Sanford, the Cawthron Institute and the Ministry for Primary Industries. MPI's Director of Investment Programs, Steve Pino, says mussel spat is often in short supply and the hatchery-grown spat is more consistent.
The hatchery is actually land-based. It grows the baby mussels within seawater in big tanks, and they grow them special algae, so the lifting grows them up to the size when they go out onto the farm.
And why do they grow faster?
If you think about other farming enterprises that we have, we're familiar with selective breeding of sheep or dairy cattle. This is applying the same principles to mussels. And so through the program, they've bred up about 100 different families of mussel, and so they're able to focus on some of the attributes of the mussels that are important. And this is the first time that this has been done for greenshell mussels, and so they are seeing some quite rapid advances.
Are they fed different feed or anything like that?
So once the animals go out onto the farms, they are filtering seawater just like wild mussels. One of the interesting problems that this project has had to solve is what do they feed the very baby mussels? And so not only have they figured out how to breed the mussels and raise the spats to a certain size, they've also had to figure out, well, what do they eat? They eat different kinds of algae, and they have to produce the algae in different ways and in different quantities depending upon the age of the spat that they're feeding. The spat has to go through several different stages of its life cycle, so it is quite a complicated process.
That's Steve Pino from the Ministry for Primary Industries.
Despite some storm clouds brewing on the horizon, growth in New Zealand's cheese exports is being forecast in the medium to long term. A recently released report from Rabobank says prospects for strong demand for cheese in emerging markets, especially in Asia, will drive export market expansion. But the report warns it won't be all smooth sailing, as the global environment for trade looks set for a period of heightened uncertainty, and cheese demand is likely to be vulnerable to economic shocks. It says cheese exports make up around 11% of New Zealand's total dairy export volumes and are expected to continue to lift over time. The increase will be driven largely by Fonterra, with $240 million recently invested to expand the mozzarella capacity of its Glyndebourne plant in South Canterbury.
The head of the West Coast Regional Council says a growing urban-rural divide is having a big impact on the region's communities and industries. Mike Meehan has told a minerals forum in Greymouth communities on the coast are being challenged by tough new rules around land use, including wetlands creation, which will be costly and difficult to isolate on many properties without aerial surveying. The government recently laid out a plan to improve freshwater quality. It will task regional councils with pinpointing wetlands in their area and setting out ways to protect them. But Mr. Meehan says this could harm the region's small but burgeoning sphagnum moss industry.
Sphagnum moss is one of those industries that's I guess kind of a quiet achiever. They will be impacted by the freshwater package and potentially the biodiversity MPS. So with that, we've got some officials coming down next week to learn about sphagnum moss, and that it's something that we don't believe that this package wants to target and stop. So we're having to engage, and we're having to do a lot of farming 101 and just, I guess, educating the people that have been asked to put together these packages around some of the things that that are going to be impacted. Those sphagnum moss pickers were also affected by the wetland change. And I guess they need to put their head above water, and they need to sell what they're doing and why it's good. The guy I talked to yesterday has seven people working on his property. His property is only 13 hectares. He keeps seven people employed full time. He exports his sphagnum moss to America. It's used for a whole bunch of different innovative things. They're using it for cleaning up lakes. They're using it for pool filtration systems, water filtration systems in cities, that kind of thing. No one knows about it.
That's the head of the West Coast Regional Council, Mike Meehan. And that ends the rural news for today. Ka kite anō.